like the woman in Luke Gospel chapter 13. Before she opened her mouth, it was comforting to know that the Lord knew her condition and knew what she needs. Above the cloud, the sun's still shining, and I'm counting on you. Let's pray. Lord, the faces of speakers can change, but your work continues. Lord, we pray not only you be with us, that you also can find room to work in us and among us. Open our eyes so we can better appreciate your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, I will read from verse 14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family of heaven and earth named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit, the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is width and length, depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This morning I will talk about God's love. But God's love is so big. It's from eternity to eternity. God's love to us, according to Paul, is something beyond our comprehension, beyond our human reasoning. Then what's the use to study something that cannot be known? What's the point to measure the immeasurable and eternal? This job of explaining God's love to us puts Paul to pray on his knees. As stated in verse 16, he enlists the help of the Holy Spirit to enlighten our understanding. At the same time, Paul had brought Jews and Gentiles together into the church. Jews and Gentiles were natural enemies to each other. We see an urgent need to know the love of God. Only the Holy Spirit can empower us to live in harmony and unity in the church. The love of God itself is beyond any computation and cannot be wholly measured. Nevertheless, it's our job to know as much as we can about it and to receive as much of it as we possibly can contain. With the help of the Holy Spirit, then the measure of Christ can grow and mature in our lives. The problem as Christians, me included, is the fact that we don't always acknowledge God's love. How often we thought about it? Isn't that true? We normally spend time thinking about our activities, our problems. Yet the most important necessity of a Christian is to know God's love to us and spend time meditating on it. This way we may respond to it with a grateful heart in living our lives. My knowledge of God's love is rather limited, as you will find out in a minute. But it's like a large picture puzzle. I bring a few pieces of puzzle today. Some other people will bring a few more pieces the next time. Together, we may have a better understanding of God's love. God's love is multidimensional. We humans don't use these terms. If we tell our loved ones our love to them is four-dimensional, you probably get a response. We already know you are square. Now, if you allow me, I will follow the sequence of the Chinese Bible, which describes God's love in the order of length, width, height, and depth. Let's start with God's love is long. In my childhood, I had the opportunity to attend Sunday school in China. There was one Sunday school teacher. She can tell Bible story in vivid color. I like to sit in her class. But unfortunately, my name must got on her list of students whom she had burdened for their souls. Back then, most Chinese did not have access to a telephone. So it's tradition, customary, that visitors would show up at the door unannounced. My Sunday school teacher visited me often, perhaps too often. Her excuse was she was in our neighborhood. In addition, she would not leave unless I pray with her. I didn't have a prayer life back then. But what would you do to get rid of her under the circumstances? Because of her Christian faith, she was put in jail for over 20 years. Later, she had the opportunity to visit America and ran to my mother in California. The first thing she asked my mother, is he not safe? She went on to tell my mother she had been praying all these years for me in jail. That touched me. Somebody. Care to save my soul and was willing to spend 20 years praying for me. God just doesn't give up on me. He will not leave me alone. God's love is long. I had a mother who loved the Lord. She was not able to send her son to study abroad. Thank God, God opened another channel. But she prayed for me every day while I was in college. I fast forward. When our children went to college, I thought I'd emulate my mother by praying for them. I find out 4 years is a really long time. Especially there are days I didn't feel like to talk with God. I attend a conference one time. And one of the sessions was devoted to the non-believers, the so-called evangelical or gospel meeting. Toward the end of that session, the speaker tried to explain what he would do. He said before, when he finished his talk, he was going to ask anybody who accepted Jesus as their Savior and Lord to come to the front. Before he had the chance to finish the sentence, a man jumped out from his seat. We later was able to talk to this guy. Why did you stood up prematurely? Oh, he explained. He was a cook, a chef who must work on weekends. And the last time he heard an altar call was in Hong Kong 26 years ago. And he never heard a second altar call until now. So to make sure he will not miss this opportunity, at that time he already decided to accept Jesus as his personal Savior. So he jumped the gun, so to speak, to receive Jesus into his heart. God patiently waited for him all these years. God's love is long. Now let's talk about God's love. The width of it. John 3:16 said, God so loved the world. This includes people of every tongue, tribe, and nation. God gave us his only begotten Son to die on the cross. Jesus has already paid the debt of our sins. So whoever receive him will have everlasting life. The Bible also said that God will freely or broadly pardon. So what does it mean? It means if you confess your sins, God will not keep a record of your past sins. No matter how bad it turned out to be, no matter how loud your conscience accuses you, you can come to the Lord as you are. He wants to leave you away from sin. God broadly pardons. A rich man was reading the story of the prodigal son in the gospel according to Luke chapter 15. He was so impressed that he wished to have a picture of the story for his house. But unfortunately, he couldn't find one in the market. So he decided to consult an artist perhaps the artist can capture the story on canvas. So he told the artist, money will not be a problem here. But can you capture the story in painting? The artist said, I'm not a Christian. Just what do you want me to put in the drawing? The rich man wasn't sure himself, so he decided to leave his Bible with the artist. Make sure you read the story before you start painting. And take your time. Money is not an issue here, he reassured the artist. So they reached an agreement. For the rich man to view the picture in 2 months. 2 months later, the rich man returned to the studio. Have you finished the painting? Yes, it is finished, but it's in the studio in the back. You can go there now, and I will join you in a little while. So the rich man went to the back. He was shocked because the picture doesn't resemble anything he expected. The painter drew an old man's head. To be exact, it was the back view of an old man's head with a broad shoulder. He couldn't figure out the meaning of the picture. What's that got to do with the prodigal son? When the artist appeared, he asked the artist, what's the meaning of this picture? The artist asked him in return, do you want the picture or not? He said, I just want an explanation. What story are you working on? I asked you to paint the story of a prodigal son, and you draw an old man. What does it mean? And the artist said, I told you I'm not a Christian. So I read the story carefully and repeatedly. But by the way, do you want the picture or not? If you do, you can take it home. If you don't, take it home anyway, because I'm not going to change anything. This is how this picture will stand. The rich man said, I just want you to explain to me why do you draw this picture this way? The artist said, okay, I will explain, but I'm not going to change anything. But I will explain to you. You Christians got all confused. That statement made the rich man further confused. He said, when I read the story, I didn't get the picture. It's the story of a son. I got the picture. It's the story of the father. To me, this prodigal son is a worthless person. He took the inheritance and squandered it and spent it all. If you were thinking of coming back home, I'm going to kick him out. But where are you going to find a father like this? Who will be anxiously waiting for the return of his wayward son day in and day out? When the prodigal son will return home, the son knows it. But the timing of it, the father had no clue. But how come he spotted the sun when the sun first appeared in the horizon? So my guess is that he must be waiting for him the whole day, every day. That's why I draw a picture of an old man waiting anxiously. Even so, did you see a path in the middle of the picture? The rich man put on his glasses and looked carefully. Yes, yes, I see it. Did you see there's a figure next to the path? Yes, I see it. That's the prodigal son, that's him. To the artist, it's not about the son, it's about the love of a father. I don't know whether you agree with him or not, but it's true. Sometimes we pay too much attention on the prodigal son and neglected the love of the one who loves sinners. Maybe out of good intention, we put them in the best seat in the house with the wish they make return to worship with you again. Sometimes we become careless and wasteful of Father's love. So she said, no, I know now, God's love is why. What about height? My colleague and her husband are animal lovers. One time they came to visit us. Once they step into the house, they ask us if we would like to meet their new family members. I took a peek through the window. There are four Dobermans in an open truck. Maybe I was hallucinated. All I saw was they were baring their teeth to me in slow motion. None of my family members volunteered to greet our canine guests. So I asked my colleague, what did you do when you and your husband at work? What happened to your poor cats? In case there's a fight, always a no problem. All the cats know the high place in the house. If it happened outside the house, they know how to climb trees and sit calmly on the branch. The dog may be mad and challenge the cat. Cat, come down. The cat will ignore them or say something like this. If you want, you can come up here. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, not only we die with Christ, we also rise with him. And he set us in heavenly places. That's our high place. But sometimes God wants us to see things from his point of view. Once I was standing in front of the Twin Tower of the World Trade Center in New York before the event of September 11. I was in awe of its height. If you wear a hat, you better hold on to it. You can easily lose it. It was so tall, these skyscrapers. Then our plane flew over New York City. And you see, that's where the Americans put their chopsticks. Sometimes we see things so important. You have to see it from God's point of view. Maybe it's just seemingly important on earth. Some of us think heaven is too far away. Maybe you have acrophobia, fear of height. You can just think of Jesus like hymn 285 says, where Jesus is, it's heaven there. In John chapter 11, Jesus and the disciples went to Bethany, and Martha thought they came too late to hear Lazarus. But Jesus said, your brother will rise. And Martha took it, it must be referring to the end day. So she said, yes, he will rise in the last days. And Jesus explained to her, you know why Lazarus can rise in the last days? Because I will be there. He's the law of resurrection and life. But I'm here now. You don't have to wait. We know the rest of the story. A bird can stretch their wings and fly, but America chose the eagle as their emblem. Why an eagle? Because a little bird, it can fly but just so high. An eagle can fly to the sky in no time. So we'll fly with one wing of faith and another wing of hope. We can get there. God's love is high. And what about that? Here on the East Coast, we have the Atlantic Ocean. And on weekends, people like to go to the beach. Suppose we get a ride and leaving the shore further and further away. How much water beneath you, we may not know. But the important thing is you know you're in the water. It's hard for us, if not impossible, to report God's love in a quantitative sense. But we know we are in God's love for sure. That's the important part. I saw Mariana Trench is the deepest part of the water. It's about 7 miles deep. That's deep. If it's possible to put Mount Everest into Mariana Trench, you still have more than a mile of water above the peak. That's how deep the thing is. But sometimes I feel God's love is deeper than that. Some years ago, there was a teacher from Taiwan came to Richmond in October. Now, being a teacher, it's difficult to take time off in the middle of school year. But her daughter, who was attending a local school here, did something, and the mother felt she must come to talk to her face to face. But the daughter felt bad in talking to the mother, so she sneaked in the back door and disappeared. Now, this lady had no friend in Richmond. Somebody told her there was a Chinese Christian in town. That's how I met her. I took her to all the places that her daughter may be found. No luck. And then it was getting dark. So I told her, maybe we'll quit for the day and continue tomorrow. But before we go home, let's drop by the police station and file a report for a missing person. It turns out she was over 18, so we cannot file her as a missing person. But the policeman was very kind. If we hear anything, we'll give you a call. So I left my telephone number with them. Middle of the night, the phone call. They found her roaming aimlessly on I-64. And the worst thing could happen, happened. She was beaten up and ended up in the emergency room of MCV Hospital. So I went to pick up the mother. I couldn't recognize her. While we were asleep, she apparently was crying nonstop. Her face all swollen. Have you ever met a parent with missing children? They have agony written all over their face. The mother was so eager to see the daughter again. When we arrived and found out the daughter left a note at the front desk, she didn't want to see the mother. So what do we do now? So I became the go-between. I will never forget. Her mother told me, tell her. She told me in no uncertain terms, tell her. No matter what had happened, I still love her. So I went to the daughter. You don't need to go through all this trauma. Your mother already loved you unconditionally. No matter what happened, she still loves you. I don't know anybody here today that you haven't talked to God for a while. God wants me to pass the message to you. No matter what happened before, He still loves you. Unconditionally. No matter what had happened, he still loves you unconditionally. Let's pray. Lord, you know our condition, and you know our need. And we thank you. You choose not to focus on our imperfection. You dwell instead on our faith, submission, obedience, no matter how little they are. You always have been kind and affectionate to all the believers, right down to the present, and we thank you in Jesus' name.